There's too much latex for me to be there.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. Oh, fuck. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
I'm with your hosts.
Salsa.
Fuck. There is too much latex for me to be there for extended periods
of time.
Well,
all right.
I have an allergy. And when it gets really dusty out there, like during the day when everybody's shuffling.
I know.
Like at night, everything seems to settle, so it's not that bad for me.
I'm gonna need this beer.
But
it gets dusty.
It does. It does.
Because
after there are no paying customers.
It gets
dusty. While there are paying customers, actually.
Because of all the paying customers.
Because of all the paying customers, it gets dusty.
The animals as well.
Yep.
Yeah, and the petting zoo. Everything, it all just gets stirred up, and then, my latex allergy flares, and it's bad. It's real bad, you guys. It's not good.
I already feel good about how today's going.
So do I.
Yeah.
I had a fantastic day.
Oh, God, I hate you. I mean, I'm happy for you. No, I mean both.
That seems on par. Yeah.
For those of us not having a fantastic day, what are we drinking?
Oh, God.
Well, you and I have Snowdrift Vanilla Porters again. This is, again, a symbol of my friendship for you. I hope it is delicious.
And
I have a Dr. Tiki. Dr. Tiki. I was wondering if I could finish before you finished, but I didn't want to speed up the pace. Felt like cheating.
Finishing before the man is rare.
It's been a while and you're really pretty.
I don't have that problem. I'm confused, you guys.
You're confused. Look at James' hairdo.
Something
I'm confused about that statement.
Yeah.
Is it a long hair reference? Because we've all got long hair.
He's got a pert in my mouth.
How can you tell under all of that facial hair?
I feel pretty now. This is
so pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I could bitch about a whole bunch of things. I've got to start with a thing, though.
Okay.
I'm going to start with a thing.
Do it.
So I went to the ladies' room today, and one of my coworkers started talking to me about work.
Motherfucker.
And I went, this is what James is talking about. I just want to pee. I am in the bathroom. I want 5 minutes of not dealing with... Why are you talking to me about work? Through the stall door. Why is this happening?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. This exactly.
I mean, if we were friends gossiping about something, I think it would be mildly different. But you know what?
Fuck.
It wasn't. It was a coworker talking about work-related stuff, and I'm like, I just need to pee. So what I'm saying is, I think I understand both of your perspectives.
That does me no good.
That does neither of you any good. Stop fucking talking to people while they're shitting.
Look, doing James no good is a victory for me.
That's fair.
Oh, my God. We've met a handful of times, and yes, I know we're working on this thing together, but Jesus Christ, woman, I'm having performance anxiety right now, and I just need to release some stress. Would you go away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just, fart loudly.
I couldn't.
Really?
If it was a friend, you know, that was just gossiping, because I have. Like, girls go to the bathroom in clumps. When you're at work,
Salsa,
you're not friends.
You have
friends.
Stated before that we are not friends. I might be your friend, but you have said that you are not mine.
You can stop
looking so fucking smug.
Never.
Oh, fair. All right.
Yeah, but and maybe it was
sure
a workplace thing. Yeah. Like, maybe if we had been at First Ave, I've had plenty of conversations with other chicks in the bathroom at, going out event type things.
I've talked to somebody in a Fogo de Chao, or in, I guess, in the Fogo de Chao.
I was about to say, which one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
might be the work thing.
It might
be. In the workplace, it's a little off-putting.
It might be, because I talked, I made a poop joke while I was there. went in, and I was like braced against the counter because I had had a lot of meat, and
well, as you should have.
I was like, I had the meat sweats, and I looked ashen, and somebody walked in, and they were like, "Are you okay?" Which I feel is an acceptable opening bid for a conversation,
right?
And I'm like, "Oh no, man! If I had like
all the
six or eight different animals." And he's like, yeah, they got a lot of different meats. And I was like, no, I mean like six or eight whole animals. And he chuckled, but then somebody behind us in one of the stalls laughed and then pooped. Yeah. So that was, and I was like, I'm glad that I could speed things along. I'll be in there next, make a little room, head back out. Yeah. Just like, and that's, I don't know. That didn't feel terrible, but you chatty motherfucker. That's just, I don't know. That's, I'm also never gonna see those people again is another.
Yeah, I mean, there is that.
I can't explain it.
I don't know.
The thing but is, like, even if it was salsa, after hours at Fest, I would talk to him while we were peeing. It's not, that part isn't the, I think
it's,
you're right.
It's the workplace. You don't know when your boss's boss is going to walk in while you guys are in the middle of a poop joke. Like,
to be fair, our boss's boss would take over, like, just to hop right into that poop joke.
Right.
But it might be that the guy that with his arm in his sling said.
Yeah.
So yesterday at work, I notice that there is a ticket that a client has updated a week ago. And it is assigned to my boss. And so I hit him up on instant message, you know, the you know, in-house
AOL, yeah,
chat, you know, whatever.
Did you have mail?
And
why isn't that a notification on my phone?
Mail. That would be pretty good.
Oh,
but,
man.
So I send him a message, and I go, hey, just checking in on this one, by the way, you know, because you know how it is. You look at a ticket and you go, oh, I'll answer that in just a second, and then you do something else. And you're just like, hey, by the way, just so you know, this is still waiting for a response. And he goes, oh, yeah, I actually had an email conversation with that person. I just forgot to update the ticket that I had that conversation. Sure. And he was like, not a big deal. And he was like, I'll update the ticket with my notes, whatever, you know. And so I go, okay. And he's like, you know, thanks for mentioning that. And I was like, no, it's okay. I'm just doing my job, even if you're not.
Holy shit. Oh, God.
And he responds with, LOL, it's way too early in the morning for you to be this much of an asshole.
Yes.
I figure you just roll right out of bed.
Yeah.
Fuckered as the day is long.
So this is the work environment that I'm used to at this point.
Sure.
Yeah. To be fair, in your current work environment, if James followed you into the bathroom,
that would be a weird mixture of home and work,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm
okay with it.
Do you have good magazines? No, wait. I know what magazines and stuff you have in there. They are good. You've got that book on like
the fire book.
Yeah, the fire book.
I've got a lot of sideshow books and things like that.
See, the thing is, like, this is usually a thing that I reserve for partners, is like bathroom chatting,
like directly in the bathroom or through the door.
In the bathroom.
Okay.
Through the door is not weird, and even like shower and going is not that weird for me.
It's still a little weird for me.
It's a close thing.
There's a part of me that it's like a, like, I think that as a parent,
yeah,
I value my personal bathroom time because that is five fucking minutes away from the kids.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I go to the bathroom, I close the door, I get stressed out if somebody's on the other side because, like, I think there's a part of me that, like, goes back to the parent thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, my kid's out there causing trouble or whatever. Like, I think, like, the bathroom is the one sacred space I held for myself when Jessa was growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, Mama's going to be in the bathroom for 5 minutes. And I'm just, like, in there hiding out. Like, oh, God, I swear to fucking God. Okay, get it together, Jenna. You can do this. Okay.
Showtime.
Yep. So I think that's a part of it, is that that's just really value my
personal bathroom time. The staging area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talking through the door is weird for me.
Yeah. Well, but like one of my partners, I was doing editing work and having a discussion with her about it. And I feel like I have to use the establishment. Do you just want to come talk to me? And she was like, oh, yeah, you know, like, this is perfectly normal. I finished what I was doing, washed my hands, hopped in the shower. We're still talking. It was not, like, to me, that's ideal partnership. But I understand if it's not that way for others.
Yeah. Yeah, no. No.
Hmm.
No. Like, if you're showering together.
That too.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're definitely. Hey, we're gonna...
Yeah. But then don't talk to me.
Yeah.
No.
You got, don't you got look stuff at me. To get done.
Don't look at me.
You got cleaning to do.
That's right.
No, avert your eyes. Avert your eyes.
Don't make eye contact.
I'm dirty. I'm dirty. Don't look. Okay. Now you go. Thank you, Salsa. I appreciate that.
But like, so, yeah. Showering with partners, I'm still like, you know what? I'm going to pee first, then... make the room available. Like,
I mean, like, I've said the same thing, but that's usually like, if you want to hop in the shower first, then go for it. Otherwise, I'm gonna pee first. If you
nope. I need that room to myself.
So we've ruled that a hot dog is not a sandwich.
The threshold to the bathroom is no different than any other threshold in our house, really. Like, it doesn't matter at all. And we're trying to teach the children to respect that. Like, if our daughter is on the toilet and Ash and my son is like, I need to tell her something, we're like, because we know that there are people for whom that is a, you know, boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is absolutely a thing. And in all seriousness, we acknowledge that and we know that that is a thing. And we're trying to teach our children that that is a thing. And to, when somebody mm-hmm. is using the restroom, just leave them alone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But for us, we don't care.
It's like a friend of mine was talking about
like the bathroom
being in grade school and having the Jewish kids conference around Christmas time, and they were like, mm-hmm. okay, so the Santa thing, we all know.
Yeah.
Nobody talks. Nobody says it. Yeah. Nobody says a fucking thing.
But all right. Our bathroom Agreed. Door, just like every other door in our house, our bathroom door never closes. It always stays wide open. Unless
not when I'm in it.
Guests.
I mean, the thing is, like, I was raised... the same way, like my dad always wanted people to come in and talk to him while he was on
like
the
Lyndon
toilet.
Johnson,
or well, that's a weird thing because his first name is John and his middle name is Lyndon. That's extremely strange. So, that happened, but yes, he would hold court from the throne or from the tub.
That's genius.
Is it?
Yes.
Holding
court from the throne? Are you kidding?
I mean...
that's gold.
Language-wise, yes.
I'm sure he was sitting there the whole time going, king of my castle.
This is my scepter. It is for scrubbing after I'm done.
Ooh, loofah.
No. The toilet. it's just a plunger with a scrubby bit. It was, I never liked that. And that might have a lot to do with...
you?
Yeah.
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 Like, I love my dad, but the man has boundary issues.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
I never had a problem with...
with his dad's boundary issues?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, I'm glad we asked. That was a critical question. Good thing to know.
Because as far as I'm aware, we've never met, so I have never once had a problem with his boundary issues.
Okay, no, that makes sense.
I believe you have, but also He wouldn't cross your boundaries because you're a fellow dude.
Also because I don't really have them.
Also no.
Very much.
Well, yeah. There's, okay. I found many fail points along here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I can't make it difficult for James, then what's the point?
This is less a Challenger incident and more a North Korean launch.
Well played.
Thank you.
Well played. That goes in the Metaphor Hall of Fame right there. That's a good one.
Oh, my God. That's, yeah.
Is there a Metaphor Hall of Fame? There should be a Metaphor.
It's metaphorical, but yes.
Oh.
No, see, that one
that does not go in the Hall of Fame.
No. No. I had a weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, we all did, but...
Did you? I thought I was the only one. Well, it revolves around Jenna.
It's that whole labor laws and, you know.
Oh. But I'm the one that's had a baby.
You had a baby?
Yeah.
I mean, at some point.
18 some years ago, right, yeah.
It was a long weekend.
Oh.
That is a, yeah, that's a gestation period. Wow.
It's, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
So, I had decided, my boyfriend and I decided that we were going to do, because it's a 3-day weekend,
yeah.
do a 3-day weekend together, just kind of hole up. Yeah. Aside, like, he had band practice and I had Ville stuff. So, like, aside from that, the rest of the weekend was just shared weekend. And then there were things that needed doing.
Sure.
And it kept eating into my weekend the more and more it kept going.
That is the way of things.
And I was just like, ah, son of a bitch. But we still managed to have quite the lovely weekend. We watched lots of things.
Good.
So it's last week and over the weekend was Shark Week for me. It just so happened that he had made reservations for us for Manny's, which if you guys have never been, they do meat. They do like aged meat stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. And I had never been. So he brought me there and gave me meat. I had bone marrow for the first time.
Oh, my God. It's so fucking good.
No.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Did you spread it on toast? Or?
Yeah, spread it on toast. They also had a mint jelly to go with it. It was absolutely delightful. And, like, I had been feeling kind of down and frumpy and everything else. And, like, 20 minutes after that bone marrow, I was like, oh. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oh, I should have had more protein earlier. Yep. All right. And then, yeah.
Huh.
I had an entire steak. It was big. It was real big. We had some asparagus. And then we also had a Bailey's chocolate cake.
Solid work.
Oh, my God.
It's good work, Jenna Young.
Oh, it was so good. But, yeah.
I mean.
That was absolutely delightful. But also saw... I finally saw Infinity Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, my God. And then Ant-Man 2.
Oh, yay.
Right. Yeah. Which was great and delightful. And then they went to the very end with the poof. And I was like, aw.
Yeah.
Aw. Fuck.
Yep.
It was just like that little face hit. Like, oh, man, that's a thing again. And if you guys haven't seen either of those, well, then go watch them.
Yeah. Do that thing.
Do the thing. They're available places.
You know.
I think we watched them on Netflix, even.
Yeah.
At least one of them.
Salsa, this would be a lot easier for me if you just worked from home. All right. So, that happened.
But I also saw John Wick.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
John Wick 1 or John Wick 1 and 2?
I think 1, I'm guessing.
Holy fuck.
I didn't know there was more than one.
Yes.
So, yeah, with the puppy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I didn't really get into a bunch of the shooting movies. that are just like right. gunplay, constant gunplay, but like John Wick is a fucking masterpiece.
It's so good. Joe is like world building.
Yes.
It's so much about the world building.
Holy shit, yes.
Because you know he's gonna win at the end. Like you just, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
Except that couple points where you're not quite sure, but you know, like, but yeah. but you know, like this is the big right. So it's not, it's about world building, it's about relationships, and it's about fight scenes.
Yeah,
and I loved it.
Yes.
I was just like, oh yeah. But those first 10 minutes, whoo, buddy. Although I think my absolute favorite bit of dialogue, and this is where dialogue can establish character and establish background and setting,
mm-hmm.
all in one thing, is the I don't remember names, but the basically the Godfather guy, the mafia mm-hmm. leader, was like talking to the car
thief,
the thief flipper or whatever
yeah.
fixer, and he's like so I heard you hit my son in the face. Like, yeah. You know, he's like, you know, what happened? And he's like, yeah, he, oh God, I'm trying to remember the exact phrasing. It was like, yeah, he stole John Wick's car and killed his puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And the response was, oh. And that was it. And you knew everything you needed to know
well, yeah.
right in that just small chunk of dialogue. It was like, oh, we know now that shit's about to get real.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. It's like as much as it is just like a gun porn movie, it is fucking outstanding. And the world that they build is... intricate and fantabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the dialogue never does more than it needs, like, or never, there's never more dialogue than there needs to be.
Yeah.
All of the dialogue just helps to feed what's going on. Every single word is there for a reason, and I fucking love it.
Well, the weird thing is, like, somebody made a parody of John Wick. That was John Wick, but with Nerf guns.
Yes.
And it is... Number one, the effort is fucking stupendous. Number two, it is still amazing.
Yeah.
It's never... It isn't about the weapons themselves. It's the action is its own dialogue.
Right.
It reminded me a lot of family-friendly Pulp Fiction. That even when you replace... the swear words, it doesn't diminish from it. It's still the movie, you know? And I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just really fucking
it's
good.
It's so good.
Yeah. They're coming out with a third, and so I wholeheartedly suggest watching the second.
Well.
Yes.
I mean, now that I know there's a second, I'm going to have to watch that.
Man.
Do it.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. And then we also watched Trexpertise because we're nerds.
I don't know what Trexpertise is.
Trexpertise.
Oh, Trexpertise.
Yeah.
I don't know what Trexpertise is.
Star Trek.
Oh, shit. Oh, all right.
Star Trek thought
things. Fuck.
Yeah.
Thought things.
Thought things.
Thought.
Thought things.
Things.
One of them, it's YouTube. One of them is about how Native Americans are represented in Star Trek.
Oof.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of them is about post-feminism. One of them is about whether or not Data was actually able to grieve the loss of his daughter. It's thought things. I don't, you know. Philosophical Trek stuff.
A 20-year-old, spoiler alert, Data had a daughter. And not for long.
Is that 20 or 30? Pretty sure that's a 30-year-old, spoiler alert.
Pretty close, if not.
Yeah.
If it's not 30, it's pretty fucking close to 30.
Yeah.
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 Holy shit.
Yeah, we're so, all...
We are indeed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic. Have you heard the Mission Log podcast?
No.
It's a good companion to watching episodes of Trek or watching things about Trek. If you watch an episode of Trek, you can listen to the relevant episode of Mission Log. And these two dudes talk about the script. They just do the summary.
Okay.
Then they do the...
I'm taking notes as you're talking, because I don't listen to this podcast.
They'll go over some trivia about the episode. Like, hey, you know, when this character came out and had all of these things dangling from their head, that prop is also a weapon in, you know, this other Star Trek series. Or this plot was reused from whatever thing. Then they'll talk about the themes of the episode and how it has held up over time.
Okay.
And, like, pretty often they'll be like, so this is real problematic today.
Yeah.
Especially the original series. They're like, whoa, holy shit. Yeah.
Well, that was the biggest on the Native American one. Like, one of their first episodes was, oh, buddy. Oh,
yeah.
So anyway.
Then they'll talk about, Kirk's ending monologue, because most episodes end with Kirk being like, well, you see, Timmy.
Yeah.
Freedom is essential because, that thing. Right.
Yeah.
But I haven't gotten to their Next Generation stuff yet, but... I mean, it's decent.
Well, I mean, Next Generation is my baby. That and Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. Those are the ones I grew up on.
Well, yeah. But those are also the best ones, so...
I kind of think so.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
I had high hopes for Voyager.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the first few weren't awful.
No.
But then it just forgot what it was doing.
I
was sad.
Petered out for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that we did is we played video games.
Hot shit.
Very specifically a game called The Cave.
Oh.
Have you played this?
I have played The Cave.
Oh. We didn't get super far, because we decided to start that towards the end of our weekend.
Idle Thumbs has mentioned The Cave many a time.
Oh, you want to play this. Number one, it's graphically, it's beautiful.
Yes.
It's super. It's a little cartoony, but still very artistic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a little bit of like a Lemony Snicket feel kind of thing, but super pretty. And it's a puzzle game.
Nice.
With some incredible story, and the narrator is fucking ridiculous. I adore him. But, yeah, basically, it's a spelunking expedition. What could possibly go wrong with that? Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah. Kind of sounds like Kentucky Route Zero that I've just started.
No idea.
It's a real fucking weird game.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I've got that, and I'm enjoying it. I also played games this weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah, this was the quarterly LAN party.
Oh, pause for a second. I wanted to ask Zelsa, have you played through the entire game?
I have played the campaign once.
Okay.
It is the kind of game with a lot of replayability because you can play as different characters.
Oh, shit.
And there's, what, seven... I haven't played it in a few years at this point.
Like eight, maybe?
There's like seven or eight characters that you can play, and each playthrough you get choose like three?
Yeah, you pick three.
But how long does it take to get through?
At least 3 hours.
Yeah, I'm a bad one to judge that, because I really like to take my time and explore worlds when I'm playing a game.
Me too.
So it always takes me a lot longer to get through a game. But you... out of the pool of characters that you can play, you select three, and then you go ahead and you play through the game. But then you can once you finish the game, you go back and you start over again. You can choose a different combination of characters.
And you hear about the characters' stories for each one of them, right? Because I assume, like, the one story that we did get to play through was the twins. Which is a character, but it's two kids.
Sure.
Well, it's a dynamically created dungeon.
Yeah.
And based on the characters that you choose, you will kind of enter an area that is this character's story.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh. And then you'll kind of play that area, and then you learn that character's story, and then you dive through the cave a bit more, and you'll stumble upon this area, which is the another character's story. And it's gorgeous. And
yeah, that does sound like something. I think, Jenna, that you're right. I think that is something.
I think you would dig that.
Yeah,
but you did Land Party.
Yeah, Land Party. Oh, and also my partner Bryn. Just started, I think, her second first-person shooter and her first one with bullets.
Oh.
Yes. So she's playing BioShock.
Ah.
Yeah.
You didn't go for something like Halo or...
Well, I mean, one, Halo which
was
very
my first-person shooter experience live in front of a bunch of audience people.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Somebody was like, oh, yeah, no, this is totally, like, baby's first-person shooter, and I was like, sure, all right, but is it? Because this seems, like, if I were to give somebody a first shooter, I would probably choose Unreal Tournament or
Doom.
Halo.
Doom is a good one.
Doom would be a good one, but it hasn't aged well. Well, I guess the new ones definitely have. Yeah. Aged well, but
I don't care Doom or Hexen.
Mm. Oh man, that's from the vaults.
Actually,
holy
no.
Shit.
Speaking of the vaults,
yeah,
Borderlands,
yeah. And
that's a fun one.
Borderlands because it's
Fallout
got good.
Like Fallout 3 would be a good
one. The amount of humor.
It's about the world is what I'm thinking of, right? Like in Halo, you're shooting aliens. Yeah. It's not. Borderlands is a cartoon.
Yeah, it is.
So that's easier to palette.
It's brighter.
It is.
BioShock, though?
Well,
that one's...
BioShock was chosen for a reason. She contacted me, and she was like, do you have BioShock? And I was like, on my computer. And she's like, could I do this? And I was like, yeah, all right. We'll figure it out. So she got started on that. And it's because she was talking to somebody about philosophy, and they referenced Ayn Rand... And the like Randian philosophy that is in because he did a thesis on like why this doesn't work and like what these the means and the end deliver you to and that kind of philosophy taken to its fullest extent is BioShock. And
true.
So he did an entire I think a master's thesis on it.
Okay.
So he was talking to her about that and was like, yeah, you should, like, if you want to know about it, I can either tell you everything about it or you can just play through it yourself. And she was like, I think I'll play through it myself.
Maybe
worth experiencing.
Maybe watch somebody play through it.
Well, the thing is, like, she's getting into gaming. And I wholeheartedly support this. Experiencing a story first person can be a more powerful, more intimate experience than watching it secondhand.
Yeah.
Become more emotionally invested in it.
Yeah. And the motivations of the character become your motivations instead of the motivations of someone else.
To a certain extent, though, that's kind of my concern. Like, I know how empathetic she can be.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm just like...
Yeah.
No, really, the further you get into this, this might be more and more. Oh, God.
If she becomes indoctrinated, it is your fault.
That's true.
I mean... all right. Maybe. We'll see.
Anyway.
Depends on how it happens and to what extent. She started playing this, and she's like, I don't know... I don't know that I can get through this. And I was like, play as far as you can.
Yeah,
and I came back later, and she was done with. There's a medical lab area, and she was like, I haven't played a game with jump scares before, and this is fucking terrifying.
Oh,
but
I
she had already cleared it, and she was in a completely different segment of the game, and I was like, "Well, you're doing great, so
yeah,
keep at it." Because I never got to play BioShock 1 myself.
Okay,
I experienced it secondhand.
Sure.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly endorse this. And now I will also have the opportunity. But yes, the LAN party, we played a lot of group games, but some of them were not on our computer. Some of them we dialed up on the television screen, and played on the Nintendo Switches. And
like, did you Jackbox?
Yes, we fucking did. And the brand new one has the like the most crazy ass fucking game in it, and I love it so much.
Oh, what is it? Tell
holy shit. Okay, so from the Party Pack 4, there was a game that I only just learned to love called Bracketeering.
Okay.
And we had played some of the other games before, and somebody, the way, there's an inside joke about a specific word, and so that became a thing in Bracketeering.
Okay.
And then we just, like, it was getting pretty late Sunday morning. It was like 1:30 in the morning, so we're all a little loopy, and
I have no idea what that's
right.
Like.
I'm fucking cackling like maniacs, and then we decide to try a new one from the Party Pack 5.
Okay.
Which hang on just a second.
Bless you.
Thank you. Which is all about doing a presentation about a problem that you are solving. They give each player a Mad Lib.
Oh, yeah.
And you fill in, like, one of them was, what is a problem that old people are experiencing? And this was mine to enter, and I was like, they have aches and pains and can't use their sex swings. Right.
Okay.
So that became somebody else's problem to solve. And this was one of my favorite things, was he draws a little picture of his invention on his phone. He types in the title and a tagline, and then you go through the presentation. And he goes, "The sex recliner. Are you old and can't use a sex swing? Look at this." And he pulls up the image in which he has not drawn a picture, but he has messily written "sex recliner." And he goes, "Look, sex recliner." And then he hits the tagline, which is usually supposed to be like, when you've got to go, do the thing.
Right,
do,
you're right. Then
whatever. Right, yeah.
You know, like a tagline.
Right. Okay. And
like a tagline. Got it.
Oh, just so. And he pulls it up, and it just says "sex recliner," and I'm fucking like, oh, damn it, man! All right, like, solid 10 out of 10.
You know, you're laughing, but I'm going sex recliner.
Sex sounds. Recliner.
Huh? Sex recliner.
Yeah.
No.
That's,
yeah.
This sounds kind of like snake oil, but Jackbox.
And you draw a picture of the thing.
Yeah.
That you're making. And it's wild. Yeah.
I want a sex recliner.
So,
I just want a recliner. That's how old I am.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have a couple. If we had sex in it, they would break.
Yeah.
Then they're not sex recliners.
No, they're not sex recliners, which is why I want a sex recliner. Because that's
fair.
Pretty awesome, actually.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah?
I think it's just a regular recliner, but with handles.
And also doesn't fall apart.
And like some straps. Yeah.
That. Yeah.
And is made of a cleanable material.
Oh.
Oh, like with like a hose drain in the bottom. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're geniuses.
Yeah.
So,
that's going with our fart cover, gentlemen.
Yeah.
You're gonna make millions.
So, we all drew pictures, and it was just the whole fucking thing made us laugh. We were hiccuping and like crying from laughter. Awesome. And then I got downstairs, and Bryn was playing BioShock, and she was like, what was going on up there? And I was like, okay.
Sex recliner.
Sex recliner. And I started to, and I, like, in my head, I just remembered him being like, sex recliner. Look at this. Sex recliner. And I started laughing again. And I had to be like, you tell her. You fucking tell her. Because I can't. I can't do it. Yeah, it was a lot. I loved it. So there was that, and we played Smash Brothers and a number of other things, and it was wonderful.
Awesome.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
So you played the newest Smash Brothers?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does Jessa.
Yeah.
She's fucking addicted to that game.
Yeah. One of my friends was like, well, you know, people didn't have a lot of interest in it. It was like, five people played. And he was like, yeah, I know, but it supports up to eight. And I'm like, shut what up. Nah. You're lucky I love you. We had a wild time. And it involved me doing some intense mathematics for everything to work, because in past sessions, I have been in the way of getting between the seating area and the kitchen and the snacks and everything like that, and there was a massive argument.
That just meant more snacks for you.
No, I wish.
Aw.
There was a massive argument about, like, oh, what are we going to... And then somebody's going to have to go sit in this other room and nothing's going to fit, and I was like, hold your shit. I will make this happen. And I used my spatial intelligence and fucking made it. We didn't think we were going to be able to fit seven seats plus two extra tables.
But you did.
We fit eight and four tables.
Damn.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, that made me feel smart. And now I just have to put all that shit back.
Aww.
So there's that. And do all the dishes. But it was a stupendous thing, cool. And we had massive fun.
Excellent. Very cool. How was your weekend, Salsa?
What did I do this weekend? I feel like I did things this weekend. I was on call this weekend.
Ow.
I didn't do a lot this weekend. I honestly didn't. This is what I did this weekend. My daughter, as you probably know, has been taking hockey practices for the past few weeks, and I hardly fucking recognize her out there on the ice.
Oh. She's
gotten
taken to it like a duck.
Kids are so good at learning things quickly.
Yeah.
Like, she couldn't skate the first rehearsal. Like, the first rehearsal.
I think practice. You mean audition?
Yes. She couldn't skate the first few practices. Like, I was on the ice for the first three or four practices because they were like, if your child is unable to stand up themselves...
We need you out here.
You have to be on the ice. Because we can't waste time having the coaches help your kids stand up.
Yeah.
You know, so if your kid can't stand up on skates, you need to be out on the ice. And I was the only person out there having to do this for my child. Everybody else was...
I'm sure you hated
not
it.
Had, yeah, I was...
Their kids were born with ice skates, those poor,
Minnesotans.
Poor moms.
Oh, fuck.
But,
No.
Episiotomy, huh?
Whew. But now she...
It was more like an episiotomy.
But now she steps out on the ice and she takes off, and like they're doing their pre-practice warm-up, and she like skates out on the ice and she's like doing figure eights, and then she spots a puck and she skates over and she grabs the puck and she stick handles the puck over to a net and shoots the puck into the net and off she goes, and it's just like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck is that?
Learning to do mobility stuff like that is ideal when you're a kid because you're lower to the ground.
But,
and made out of rubber.
But, like, it's been 2 months with practices on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, 2 days a week.
And this is where she's at now.
I still can't juggle.
That is to be fair, stunning to me.
Because she's smaller, she's got shorter legs.
Yeah.
So if like the two of you were skating, she'd still get more practice in the same amount of time because of her little legs. I know this because I'm short.
But I mean, she's even
fair.
Like I said, it's not just the skating; it's the stick handling and it's the confidence and you know they're doing drills and she's beating other kids to in races to the puck because she's going faster than some of them now.
Nice.
Like she has leapfrogged some of them in ability.
That's awesome.
And like
fast muscle.
You know they get into scrimmages at the end of practice and she's in there and like digging at the puck with the stick and trying to get in there and it's just like, who is this person?
This is your analytical and determined child.
Oh yeah.
Like she's always been like this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now you're seeing it with direct application.
I mean,
and you're fucked, by the way.
Oh yeah, I know. But
yeah, okay.
But, I mean, like even
is this from personal experience?
The first few scrimmages, it would be like a lot of the other, you know, a lot of the kids would race towards the puck and get their stick in there, and she would always like hold back and kind of go, well, there's people there.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and she would just kind of like wait, and we were like, no, you can't wait. You just need
the
to get.
The other team isn't going to give the puck.
No, you need to get in there.
Yeah,
and she was like, oh. Boom! Like now she's like digging in there and getting in there and skating it, you know, just bumping into people, and it's just like,
rad.
What? Who is this person? Because like I said, just from the first practice to now, I don't recognize. If I didn't know it was my daughter, if you just said your daughter's on the ice right now, I would be like, which one? Because I
So I'm
super happy and proud of her.
Yeah,
as well you should be.
And God damn it, when she loves showing people her hockey tooth.
Maybe that's why she's so brave now. She's looking for another one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, once this one grows in, she won't have nothing. She's got to lose another one and fast.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had a. Oh, the other thing that I did this weekend is I started building the furnace room. I have
neat
beams in place, and I have borrowed
some lumber from a construction site.
No,
it was late at night.
I have borrowed a tool, and it is a pretty awesome tool.
It uses
black powder.
What?
Oh, for driving concrete nails.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, those are fun.
So for those that don't know, it's called a ram set. And what it is
even that name is sexy.
I know, right? It uses
sounds like a couple of Egyptian gods just got together, and
it uses a tiny black powder charge.
Okay.
And so you put this black powder charge in the chamber. And you put a nail in the bottom, and when you strike the top with a hammer, it sets off a fucking explosion, which drives the nail through the board and into the concrete floor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
My dad's got one that just takes 22 blanks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It basically takes shotgun primers.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, my God.
I'm really excited to use this.
The orangutan's protecting me.
And my friend, who's a handyman who lent it to me, he was like, yeah, don't forget ear protection.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
He was like, yes, also. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. Also, I get to use explosives and my wife's gonna let me.
So far,
for this in particular,
you know, next week we're gonna come here and we're gonna have to bring all the recording equipment out to what is now the furnace room, and we're just gonna see
won't be built that
like
fast.
Salsa with his hand nailed permanently to the wall.
Yeah,
Yeah, like with like a series of empty plates around him and a bucket in the corner in like a 3-foot circle, arms reach radius.
Yeah.
Just be careful, man.
Yeah.
James, it's me.
I know. We've met.
Should we take a break?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
Shit. James.
I'm Jenna.
Impeccable timing.
It's true. You know how I get impeccable timing?
How do you get impeccable timing?
It's because I am always on the ball. I am always alert and ready for just the right moment.
I
get alert and ready for just the right moment is I am caffeinated to within an inch of my life.
That's fair.
I feel like that's a great way to live.
Yeah.
Yep. And how do you get caffeinated to within an inch of your life and
drink 6 feet
look great
one of
doing
caffeine?
It? Wait. True Stone.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It was the look cool while doing it.
Oh, no.
I said look great while doing it.
I'm sorry.
I mean.
And it's True Stone. It's True Stone. Look,
I look cool.
Look. All right. This is the part of the commercial where, like, the background, like, and, like, the workers push the background out of the way. And the
apropos!
Yeah, and they're just like, look, I play a doctor on TV, but in real life, I just need my True Stone coffee. And True Stone coffee is how you get to be an actor on...
No, on TV, I play a doctor.
This
Tiki.
Got away from me.
Dr. Tiki!
No, there's already a Dr. Tiki on TV. On Tiki Bar TV.
Oh. I did not know.
Dr. Tiki?
I actually did.
Johnny?
No.
Lala?
No, yeah. I did not know.
Tiki Bar TV? You do not know Tiki Bar TV? I thought that's what you were always chanting was Dr. Tiki.
No.
That's just the name of
I
the
I dressed
drink.
Up as Johnny for Convergence 1 year.
Eh.
Oh, my fault. I didn't see it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I probably saw it.
Oh, fucking
God.
We need to watch. We're going to watch Tiki Bar TV after
this. All right.
Okay.
But that's not here nor there. Right now, right here, right now, right there is True Stone Coffee.
TrueStone.com.
No, that's
TrueStoneCoffee.com. Jesus
Coffee.
Fuck.
TrueStone.
I did not install
but it's
that
pronounced
light
apropos.
Switch so you couldn't have light switch raves.
Fleshy push marshalades.
And if you use the promo code apropos, you get 10% off of your order.
Apropos.
TrueStoneCoffee.com.
We're professionals.
No.
This is like, this is the audio version of an Old Spice commercial.
Yes.
Oh.
I want you all to picture me on the...
On a unicorn.
On a unicorn.
Drinking coffee.
On a rainbow.
And now the rainbow is made out of coffee. And the coffee is made out of rainbow unicorns.
And the coffee is scalding hot. Ow!
True Stone coffee. All right. I feel good about
how
today went.
That was the most late 80s, early 90s plug we've ever done.
Oh yeah.
Wasn't enough synthesizer.
I could make this happen.
True Stone Coffee. True Stone Coffee.
The system is down.
No.
The system is back up. So who's got
the system is pronounced apropos. All right. So it's having an aneurysm.
And but it smells apropos.
You know, I really wish that we had, like, listener statistics, because we just, over the course of the last 2 minutes, just watch them drop.
You can't go below zero, Salsa.
That's true. Mm. Yeah. I mean, you can. There's negative numbers.
You can't negative that's people. That's rude.
You can.
I think it's when we stop
rude.
Listening.
It, rude. It's, rude.
I don't listen.
Possible.
No, I do.
No.
I've been a negative you.
Seems right.
Who's got a shout out?
Oh, this is going to sound sappy. I'm going to shout out for my boyfriend.
I mean, that is... shout outs are supposed to be...
Well, we had this weekend planned, and it was going to be all sexy time all the time, and then I had my period, and then other work-type stuff happened, and he was just very supportive, and he was like, hey, have you eaten? I'm gonna reheat this food. Let's eat some. And just like, do you need more coffee? And hey, you've been at that computer for an hour. Let's take a break. Like, just things like that. And just taking care of me and being really nice and making sure that I was good. And so, yeah. He's my boyfriend. I like him a lot.
I like him, too. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And he got me meat while I was bleeding.
Bleed meat. You
gotta replenish your iron.
Exactly. No. Anyway, so shout out to my boyfriend.
Yeah, nice.
Okay.
I understand that you can get meat from Trump Steak.
Where where are you going with this?
Nowhere. Just like Trump Steaks.
Get it.
Huh. Well, yeah.
I'm going to give a shout out. And my shout out is to that oft vilified, underappreciated culinary bit of masterpiece.
Me.
Ramen noodles.
Ooh.
And here's why. For 30 cents, for the price of 1/20th of a cup of coffee, you can get a package of ramen and do so much to it. It is so versatile. Huh. Like, you start with just the base pack of ramen, like 29 cents, you get a pack of ramen. Mm-hmm. Boil it 3 minutes later, you've got ramen.
Had a dollar worth of vegetables and spices and a can of meat.
So you start with that base.
Yeah.
Then you start putting whatever you want in there.
Yeah.
Put some vegetables in there. Put some meat in there. Put some eggs in there. Put some put peanut butter in there
and make
a peanut sauce.
Yeah.
Like you.
But I can't have peanuts. I'm allergic.
Well, don't do that.
Cook up the noodles.
Salt butter sauce.
Cook up the noodles. Drain off the liquid. Fry the noodles.
Yeah.
Make basically like fried rice, but with the noodles instead of rice.
Yeah.
The number of things you can do with a packet of ramen noodles that are all delicious, and you can do a different thing every day of the month and have never duplicate a recipe.
My religion supports this. We have a week of Ramadan as a holiday every year. I'm not making that up.
No,
someone else made that up.
I know. I'm well aware. Just the 29-cent package of ramen. That's my shout-out.
Yeah. Do it.
You can microwave it.
I did.
And you can put an egg in there, and then it'll explode in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
Well, and I mean, do it all the time.
Even with eggs, you can put like a soft-boiled egg in there, which is delicious, or you can just crack an egg in there and do egg drop soup in there. Or, well, that's, like,
Yeah, that's what I've... So my microwave adventures, I think I told you guys about this, but tried microwaving ramen with an egg in there.
No, I didn't hear about this.
Oh.
Yes, I heard about this. Yes, yes.
I went to poke it with a fork, and there was literally egg on my face.
Yep.
But I've experimented, and I figured out how to do it so that you don't get egg on your face, literally.
And or figuratively. Yeah.
But, yeah, ramen. I approve. It's a good shout-out.
My shout-out is to a congresswoman. Yeah. I believe her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC.
I've heard Ocasio-Cortez.
Ocasio-Cortez?
I think I've heard both, actually.
NPR has been saying Ocasio. So.
Well, it's probably Ocasio.
Either way,
they're pretty careful about how they pronounce things. Yeah, I've only read, but she is. If vilification tennis was a congressperson,
her social media game is on point.
Holy really shit, she's funny as fuck.
And smart.
Did you hear about what she did today?
I believe so.
She and a couple of other congresswomen went to hunt down Mitch McConnell. And hand deliver a letter to him to reopen everything and to get the votes passed. And they couldn't find him. He wasn't in any of his offices. He wasn't in the Capitol. He wasn't
Did
anywhere.
This happen today? Cause
I think it was today. It may have been yesterday.
Okay. Because, like, I think it was last week some point she posted, like, a poem that she had written. Like, it was basically, like, where's Mitch? And it was like, he's not in the hall. He's not in his office. He's not in the thing. Where's Mitch?
Well, and the other, I think my favorite, what absolutely sold me on her, just as far as somebody that's actually fucking in touch with what this power play shit is all about, is when the, so there's a video that went around of her dancing in college,
somebody who's trying to embarrass her.
Yeah, they were trying to embarrass her with a very well done dance remake of like Breakfast Club type dance stuff, right? And like, oh no, she was dancing in college, and it wasn't even like, woo,
yeah, it
crazy,
wasn't
whatever.
Drunk taking shirt
no,
off dancing.
It was actual parody thing,
adorable dance,
well videographed. Like, it was really well done. College kids dancing, like this parody thing. It was great. And so she posted a response where, like, there was a video taken of her about to walk into her office, and then she looks at the camera, and she just starts dancing, and then she dances in her office, and I'm just like,
Yes.
That made me happy.
Yeah.
Like, I've loved everything she's done, but that was like the... Okay, she's not just shouting things to shout things. She is fucking real.
She's incredibly smart and funny.
Yeah.
All of her clapbacks on marginal taxes have been gold.
Yeah. that was the one that I read most recently, was the, let's start with having a society where people having their own, where we don't have people who are on food stamps and working a full-time job, and also people who own their own private helipads. I'd like...
Yeah.
I mean, it would be nice if we could, you know, if people could have their own private helipads and also not have people on food stamps who are working 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely fine with that, but...
I'm down.
Yeah, the combination of the two is kind of... Yeah. A good point.
The best one that I read so far, though, was on, and they endeared me a lot because it made it a gaming thing. It was AOC is the party's tank.
Yep.
she's the tank. She pulls aggro and soaks damage.
Yeah.
And while everybody is going, losing their fucking mind that there's a, you know, smart intelligent, good-looking woman voicing her opinion in Congress. And while she's doing that, fucking Pelosi and other, you know, Warren and other people are just going to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody has their role to play. And they're all different roles. You know, you need a healer, you need a tank, you need go ahead.
Did I ever talk about... somebody had shared a story online about one of the most rigorous and difficult military training camps that has ever existed in the United States. And one of the things that they would do is, like, surprise wake you at after 30 minutes of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then have you go run however long, and they would constantly try to trip you up and
right.
and mess with you. And only one group, only one squad had ever, like, thoroughly, hands down, beaten the camp into the ground and survived completely
and
intact.
And
it was a WoW guild.
Nice.
yes.
And they were like, yeah, everybody knew their roles. Everybody knew what they were doing. They had a chain of command yep. already built in. Mm-hmm. They were fucking squad from the day that they got here. They were on top of everything. So, yeah. Fuck yeah.
But it's basically that that idea of, you know, just it's the distraction.
Yeah.
You know, it's while everybody is distracted at mm-hmm. the awesomeness that is AOC.
Yeah,
actual legislation is actually going to happen.
Well, you know, like, I'm sure she's doing her part as well. But
absolutely.
Also, like,
absolutely.
Good on her.
Yeah,
for drawing fire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I understand that this is doing it
competently and intelligently.
A heavily politicized shout out and that kind of stuff, which is just really fucking awesome.
Yeah,
and I admire her.
No, it's solid.
So, shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Man,
indeed.
Go us.
Well, should we try to
do that?
Do
thing?
We want to five the fast?
Do we want to
break our fast with five?
Do we want to break our five
fast
quickly?
I've fay asked fay.
Yeah.
I don't speak Latin.
Today's fast five comes to us from. Bryn Berryhill.
Oh shit.
Who sent this to us as we were recording? Like, as we are talking here, I'm getting messages on my phone going, Bryn, I'm sending you a thing.
oh my god, I wonder if it's about the thing that we saw earlier.
We'll find out if it's about the thing if she mentions the thing.
Yeah, if it contains spoilers.
We'll find out.
Not it.
We may have to redact this part of the episode until later.
Nah.
So the first question is, dude, and that's our episode.
Thank you. Oh man, that was
a good fast five.
Fuck.
Those were some amazing. I learned something today.
I'm gonna go outside for a smoke.
Like that.
I didn't smoke before, but
honestly, transformed.
Yeah.
Speaking of transform.
Shit.
Anyway.
We start out this email. It says, hey, guys.
Hi, Bryn.
It's the end of the semester in my new job. So I thought, what better way to procrastinate than create a fast five for AON?
Excellent. I approve of this wholeheartedly.
And I am going to answer that question. There is none.
There is no better way.
There is no better way. That's what we've been telling you. There is no better way to procrastinate. Mm-hmm. If you were at your desk and you have a deadline and you don't want to fucking do it, write us a fast five.
Yeah, like, if you're at your desk and you're reading Reddit or Twitter or depressing news, why not write a fast five about what you're seeing on Reddit or Twitter mm-hmm. or depressing news?
Have you just thrown your phone across the room at Trump's latest tweet? Write us a fast five.
I've gone through so many phones this year.
Ooh, I saw a dark future.
Question number one.
Yeah, okay.
Were there a lot of broken phones?
When we suddenly just get an influx. Every time there's something stupid happens, there's an influx of fast fives.
No, that would be wonderful.
That would be amazing. Yeah. We would have a lot of them. So question number one.
I need to get to the cabinet.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Salsa.
Question number one.
I knew you well.
You know that'll sneak its way around the bar, right?
Sorry.
God damn it.
Question number one.
Yeah.
Straight or curved?
Curved.
Huh.
I'm guessing sword.
Still curved.
Curved.
I like my scimitars. I like ladies, which is not straight. And they have curves.
That's really good. I learned how to throw a boomerang on a curve so that it comes back, but my favorite thing is throwing it like as a as an attack weapon and like wham, point A, point B, straight line between two points.
You're fired.
Or archery.
Meh.
Which I guess has the curve of minutes, but it's fine.
You're overthinking it.
I think. Well, weird. Whatever.
Okay.
Oh.
In a Fast Five.
I know.
Say what?
Out of character. Yeah.
All right. Question number two. Red or blue?
Blue.
Blue.
Red.
Okay.
Yeah.
Three.
And I actually have very specific reasons why I don't do lots of blue.
Okay, well, what are they?
My reason is that I was always player two. So I always got the like the second player colors, green and blue. And my sister was always red. And because first player is usually red. So
often.
Yeah.
That's the thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dislike blue because it reminds me of my gross sex. Oh, so
fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a reason.
I have zero blue things in my decorating now.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
Question number three.
Yeah.
Geometric or organic?
Oh.
Geometric for me.
I mean, I do like free-range geometric eggs.
You can get square eggs.
I know.
Truth.
I'd say it's super weird.
Gonna go organic.
And the chickens don't like it.
What animal is it? It's the wombat who had poops cubes?
Poops cubes, yeah.
Yeah, wombat. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Wombats are weird.
I'm going to go geometric because I prefer Art Deco to Art Nouveau. I love them both, but given a choice between the two, I would pick Art Deco.
I'll deco your Nouveau.
I mean, take me on a date first.
Again?
You want to go to ramen again?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys never invite me.
Nope.
Oh, I was about to. <Let's see. laughs> I think you sense that.
I made it weird.
All right. Good.
Excellent.
No, that is your job.
You are correct. We never do.
Jerks. Anyway, what's the next question?
Question number four. Shape or form?
Oh.
Which I don't know what the difference is.
Form.
What's the difference?
Well, if I had to identify the difference between the two, shape is something intentional, but form is something that occurs.
Kind of like geometric or organic.
It's similar, but they're, I think, artistic.
Oh, shape has a
predefined
a consciousness that is molding it, whereas form is just something that is naturally happening.
Maybe, but like you form clay into something, but you shape clay. Maybe they're like additive and subtractive. That's a really good question. I want to look that up, but obviously that's impossible. If only we were connected to a series of tubes.
But we're not.
Yeah. I like the word form more than the word shape.
That's where I was going.
Yeah.
Like, I like the idea of forming something rather than shaping
it. I like the idea of forming thoughts rather than shaping thoughts.
Shaping like thoughts to be is gross. Informed.
Oh, rather than in shape?
Yeah, actually.
All right, fair.
I'm going to go with shape.
Okay.
Question number 5.
Yeah.
Positive or negative? I'm going to go with positive, and here is why.
Yeah.
I have spent a lot of my life being very negative, and I don't want to do that.
You're against it?
I am anti-negative.
Okay.
Wait, are you positive?
Only fools are positive.
I ask.
You shouldn't have to ask, James. You should already answer this one.
No, I mean, we talked about this a bit last podcast podcasts ago, where like, just I realized that in a lot of ways I was being an asshole, and it wasn't just to other people, but it was also just I had a lot of negativity as opposed to positivity, and I realized I don't want to keep putting negativity
into
the world.
Makes it harder to enjoy your own life.
I want to put more positivity in the world, and that's and especially because it's something we noticed in our own children. Where, especially my daughter, as she starts getting older, you know, it's a lot of complaining and a lot of negativity, and we keep trying to instill in her to be positive and to look on the bright side of things, and you know,
but that also not to the be example,
right, exactly, yeah. And it also has in trying to teach her, it's one of those things where you kind of go, oh, I'm learning something about myself too, where you go, I have been very negative for much of my life, and I don't want to do that. I want to be the guy who, when I show up, everybody goes, hey, it's that guy who is always friendly and nice and has a good outlook on life and we want to hang out with.
You know? I mean, I've always felt that way about you, but that's me.
We've all got our own mental, you know, damage.
Fair.
Not me. So. I have zero mental damage.
Yeah, Jenna's in the middle of denial, and that's fine.
So positive for me.
Yeah.
I love negative space.
Fair.
Ooh.
Yeah, you can do brilliant things with negative space. I'm gonna say negative. Because you can form, like in sculpting, you can make a negative from a positive, but you can also just make a negative. And using that negative, like when you make a positive, you make a sculpture or something like that, you can leave it and not make it into anything else. But then you just get that one thing, and in order to make a copy of it, you have to make it from scratch. Yeah. But if you make a negative, and especially if that negative can be reused, you can make one for anybody. And you can repeat the process quickly but still make something that you've invested yourself into lovingly. Hand make this thing by creating a negative that can be reused, and it's fucking stupendous, and one of my favorite things that I've ever made. I had to go through this extremely awful process of making a lost wax negative, which is terrifying. So I feel like that was a formative process. I'm gonna go with negative.
Go ahead, Jenna.
I already said negative space.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounded like you had something more to add. So
no.
Oh, as he was talking. What you're saying, by the way, I've wanted to make a aluminum smelter for a while now. And one of the things I have wanted to make is I found somebody had made a pile of aluminum skulls.
Ooh.
And he would put them like around the base of his campfire.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would absolutely make a few of those, and when I'm at a Renaissance festival somewhere, just have those as the base of my campfire.
Those could pretty handily be old man fire.
Yeah, like that'd be awesome. Be pretty cool. So I've always wanted to do that. to it, but that just reminded me of, you know.
Yeah. No, I think that's tremendous.
All right. We open up the second email, and it says, well, turns out I'm an art teacher now, and somehow all of tomorrow's test criteria made it into the Fast Five.
Like,
imagine that.
Now we find out who is right and who is staying after class.
For death.
You Since are, I live with her, is that...
You're always... You're permanently in detention.
I'm permanently... Yeah, I'll... I'm always...
Or you're the principal.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Okay.
Jess is the principal.
So, we start this off. You are all tuning the new goggles you have to wear for the next year.
Oh, shit.
What are the settings you would choose?
Oh, no.
Question number one, straight or curved? All of the lines in your vision are either straight lines or curved lines.
If you did curved, everything would look like a Miyazaki film.
I think if everything looked curved, I would start to get motion sick after a while.
Right.
Because you wouldn't have a sense of
Well, if it was permanence. Curved, would you just be like fisheye? Like a fisheye lens?
Maybe. Or, like I said, it might look like a Miyazaki film. Miyazaki uses almost exclusively curved lines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it could just look like a super cute cartoon.
I feel like it would just be discombobulating if every line was curved.
I feel like if every line was straightened out, that would mess me up while driving.
I feel it would give me a sense of stability.
Huh.
Whereas curved lines would be too... I would feel like they would fall apart.
Oh, fuck. Mm. Yeah, I have to change. I'm going to go curved.
Two sets of goggles.
One in front of the other. They just cancel each other out and you're blind.
All right.
Ah, well.
I just take off my glasses for that.
It's a kind of goggles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she talking about, like, special art goggles? Like, am I missing something on...
I think these are hypothetical,
okay,
figurative goggles.
Oh, okay, I'm
yeah.
just...
Yeah.
Like, we've been given a set of magical goggles.
Okay, I wasn't sure how this worked. Question number two. Red or blue? Your vision is now tinted either red or blue.
Ooh.
Studies have shown that if your vision is tinted red, you will be more angry.
Oh.
And if your vision is tinted blue, you will be more calm. And I feel like a year of subconsciously being angry would be a problem.
Yeah.
I would go blue. Soothing.
I don't find blue soothing for particular reasons, though.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't...
Fair. Does being colorblind have an effect on that?
I don't know. You'd have to ask a scientist.
Wow, that would be super interesting to find out.
Which is...
I'm already angry all the time, so...
This is actually why
Oh my god! Literally seeing red!
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get it. Okay.
Oh.
This is why athletic locker rooms all have to be the same color for the home and away team.
Yeah, if you make them pink, it's calming.
Yep.
Yeah.
There have been schools that would do that, where they would paint the home locker room an aggressive color and the away locker room a soothing color. And the athletic boards had to step in and go,
that's an unfair thing.
Not allowed to, you can't do that anymore.
Yep.
Nah. Plus, I like red or blue more than red.
Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
Yeah. I've worn glasses that tint your vision.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird thing is, you stop noticing.
Yeah.
Your brain figures it out.
But I find that I'm much happier in Minnesota during the winter months when everything is kind of gray-blue.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, that.
Because people leave you alone. You don't have to go outside. It's so much better.
What if, instead of like red, they're just like rose-colored?
Rose-colored glasses?
Yeah.
Damn it.
That's the ones I want.
Question number three. Geometric or organic?
Yeah.
geometric shapes you find in math worksheets, squares, triangles, etc. Mm-hmm. Organic shapes are more, well, you get it.
Yes.
Geometric for me.
I would choose organic then instead, mm-hmm. because then that would not make a change to the human body. Where geometric would make everyone look like an anime wait.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby. You've got some real nice octahedrons there.
Hey, 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 my spheres are up here.
Is that a dodecahedron in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Por qué no los both? It's a 20. So...
No, yeah. It's not.
It's like a 5 on a good day downhill. All right, with the wind at my back. So there's that.
What about you?
It's a Minnesota 5.
I'm leaning organic. I do like doing a lot with lines and perspective and having a lot of those sharp angles and geometric things, but And when I doodle, it's all just kind of whatever happens, kind of organic stuffs. Lots of flowers.
I like to draw geometric things more. It's somehow easier for me.
Weird. That geometric would be easier to draw. As opposed to...
For some people, it's not.
Natural. Really?
Yeah.
Really, really.
Weird.
Yeah. I just like making swooshy lines and then building off of that when I'm doodling.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Question number 4. Shape or form? Okay. Well, problem solved. Shape is 2D. Form is 3D.
Oh, shit. Wow. Yeah,
I mean...
Well, there we go.
Depends on the... If they're the red and blue colored 3D glasses, then no. But if they're like the polarized 3D glasses, then okay. They don't give me a headache as much.
In doodling, I've actually been experimenting with putting 2D items in three-dimensional spaces and vice versa. Mm. Like one three-dimensional sphere on a box of, like, just like a square. Like, things like that.
Huh.
It's interesting. I find that you have to fill in the universe with either more of one or the other. Like, it just doesn't stand alone well.
Sure. But the contrast is just weird until you give it more context.
Yeah.
Huh.
Hmm. So.
Ah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, in that case, form.
I would have to go with goggles that show form.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, seeing things in 3D is...
Although, anime...
I mean, I get that. I do.
Anyway. Oh.
Question number 5.
Yeah?
Positive or negative? If you choose negative, think undeveloped film. Seeing the world in negative for a year, No.
That was my phone does that.
Nope.
Yeah, probably not. Nope. Not for a year.
Yeah. My phone does that. It's to help people who have a chromatic difference in their vision.
Mm-hmm.
You can make subtle adjustments.
I'm right here.
To the way that people who, you know, if they were, like, missing color... some part of the color spectrum, you can make adjustments to your phone to, you know, compensate for that. But also you can just fucking invert the colors. I was always really fascinated by the inversion. I wonder if that would make you more likely to go out at night.
Maybe.
Or maybe just make daytime super awesome.
Oh.
I did a lot of darkroom stuff when I was...
You could stare at the sun.
Could stare. No, that still seems bad. That's
Do it anyway, James.
That would overdevelop your film.
When I was in junior high and high school, I had a dark room at home. And we used to do really cool stuff with negatives.
Yeah?
Like making negatives. Using, like building negatives as the positive. Does that make sense? Like,
kind of?
Think so.
You could create artwork by, instead of shining the light through a negative and making a picture, you could place objects on a bit of photo paper and shine a light on it, and it would basically create what looked like an X-ray.
Oh, wow.
And by doing that, you could create some really cool images.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's interesting. So weird.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
It's pretty neat stuff. I would still go positive, though. Bryn wraps this up by saying, thanks for helping me with my procrastination, guys.
All too welcome.
Love you all. We love you, Bryn. Thank you so very much for sending in that Fast Five. And listen, everyone, it is that fucking easy. None of you have an excuse. I am extremely easy. Easy like a Sunday morning.
Actually, I have a really hard time with Sunday mornings.
That story checks out. Yeah, he hates also.
Yeah,
so
no, that's fair. All right.
I'm done with it. Who's got something to plug?
Oh, my God. This Friday.
Bum, bum, bum.
Vilification tennis.
Yes.
Goes to the doctor.
Woo!
Yeah. I'm really excited about my costume.
I am, too.
I'm not nearly as excited about my costume as I am Jess's costume, however.
I've seen them. And both of you have amazing costumes.
But hers is better.
It's really fucking good.
It's really fucking good. So
is it really fucking good?
It's really fucking
good.
It
is really fucking good.
Is it a merry fucking Christmas?
No.
Okay.
No. But yeah, come see Vilification Tennis Goes to the Doctor this Friday at 10 p.m. at the Bryant Lake Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend getting your tickets ahead of time for this one.
Yeah.
I've heard of a bunch of people...
The past few tickets, shows have been sold the fuck out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Even the surprise one got a pretty good attendance, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're welcome. I'm not in Bill anymore.
Oh, okay. That's starting to make a clearer picture.
I just like that on
picture.
Principle, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So does the audience.
Yeah.
Seems that way.
We knew you had discerning taste, Vilification Tennis audience. so yeah, come see that. I mean, there's another thing coming up in a few weeks. In 2.5 weeks.
Oh, fuck.
Uh-huh. Oh, fuck. Uh-huh. You want to talk about this one, James?
Fearless 5.
Yeah! Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What's the theme?
It is noir. Noir.
I got one of my props today.
Oh, shit.
This is one that I bought that's for me.
Is it mad props?
No. It's not very sentient.
He just left on his own? Is that all he had to do? Oh.
Oh.
Oh, wait, no. Hey, Salsa.
Anyway, Fearless 5 Noir.
Yeah.
Opens February 8th. Runs for 3 weekends at the Mounds Theater. Go see that. It's going to be awesome. That's what I got. I directed a thing.
Yeah.
James directed a thing.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We're directors.
You deserve that one.
Oh, Jesus fuck. I did not.
No, you didn't. That was...
I really didn't know that you could peel varnish off of wood siding.
No. Friendly fire, not
sorry, Jenna.
Fire,
no, I genuinely apologize, Jenna. That one was supposed to be meant for James.
Oh, that's like when my dogs fart.
It is. It smells like dog food. Have you been eating dog food?
I mean, dogs eat what I eat.
I'm putting in the scope.
Coming up on February 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Yeah.
Is Mondo! Yay! Mondo Juggle Fest is the 8th, 9th, and 10th of February right here in Twin Cities at Concordia. And it is 3 days of juggling and performance art. And this, you don't need to be a juggler to go. Whether you have been performing for decades or whether you have gone to the store and purchased your first beanbags yesterday, everybody can come and have a good time and learn and be inspired. And that's what I do, is I always go when I am hella inspired.
This might be my chance to learn how to juggle.
Might be. There'd be people there who could actually teach you.
They could tell me what I'm doing wrong.
And I recommend it, as I always do.
So much.
The other thing I'm going to plug is you should make a donation.
Ooh, yeah.
A tax-deductible donation to the Special Olympics of Minnesota.
Fuck yes.
Through the medium of making myself and James jump in a frozen fucking Minnesota lake in February.
This last weekend, it was 1 degree.
It was cold. And yes, that means you should make that donation. I will be posting the link in the show notes as well as on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It is Team Fearless Comedy Productions. It is not just the people who are jumping in the lake, which is myself, James, Garrick, Dietz, Fearless's marketing director.
Yeah.
It is Andy Rapella.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's Andrea doing that.
And I feel like there's somebody else that I'm forgetting. I think Megan Slauson's in it this
quite
year.
Quite possibly.
But anyway, you should go and you should donate to myself or James or anybody else in the Fearless, or all of us. You can do that. You can distribute your donation. And it doesn't need to be a lot of money. You don't need to be Mr. Moneybags.
$5 is fine.
$5, $3, $2 is fucking
awesome.
It all of the money goes to the Special Olympics of Minnesota, which is a noble cause. And if we hit our minimum donation amount, then we have to jump in a frozen lake. So everybody wins.
Man,
so you should do that.
Yeah.
I can make Salsa go jump in a lake?
Yeah.
I'm in.
I know, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So, anything else?
Just a reminder that the Die Laughing applications are open. Go to dielaughingmarathon.com and apply. I haven't started booking yet, but as far as applications, I'm getting a decent amount, so get your application in.
Apply early. Apply often.
No, just once.
So, once per show. Yeah.
Right.
I know that Valentine's is still a little ways away, but I know a lot of people like to make their plans early. If you are interested in wordplay, puns, and whatnot, and you want to go somewhere nice and see a show.
If I'm not, I'm just going to go.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But if those are things that interest you, there is a Pundemonium Pun Slam happening on February 14th. And Kyle and I might be there as special guests. So there's that. We would love it if you would come out there and see us wreck shop as special guests.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Anything else?
Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Okay.
Yeah. That would be a no.
No, I'm good. No,
that's what I got.
All right. In that case, thank you so very much for listening to us for yet another week. We've been doing this for a long time, and there's no signs of stopping because at this point it's all momentum, and we don't know how to stop. There's no brakes on this thing.
Also, like booze.
Also that.
I mean, there's that.
Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, send those to salsa@aonpodcast.com.
Please,
if you would
and
like
thank
to
you.
Send a tax-deductible donation to make James and I jump in a frozen lake, go check out the show notes.
Please and
thank you. For the rest of you, eat the fucking cake.
I love you. Bye, bye, bye.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.